In accordance with our approach to things, we at Maranatha Church, and I refer in we, Congregation General, but more specifically, the Board of Deacons, we try to do all things under the admonition decently and in order. So decently in order means that you're given a heads up with regard to the fact that we are presenting to you a deacon to replace two that have resigned, and we would like you to vote for that next Sunday. The deacon is Rocky Burt. They're not here today. They're lollygagging in Branson, Missouri. He said ahead of time, I planned this before I knew this was going to happen. I said, you're okay. Leave me high and dry. So we'll do that. We'll do that next Sunday, right? Maybe like second session. So come prepared to vote. He has been approved by me and by the deacons here to serve as a deacon and to cover buildings. That's what we need. So when we have a problem, get it done. And it's his natural thing too, because that's what he does. Okay. let me see here. What I have. Let's. We certainly know this one to be true in our history and recently. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. We're in a warfare, a spiritual warfare. And like any warfare, the individuals must be trained so they can handle the so-called combat situations they may be thrown into. Because you're dealing with people, you're dealing in the world, and you're involved in a conflict. This is a conflict of ideas, concepts, doctrines, and viewpoint, manner of life, and various things. And you will, from time to time, perhaps, be asked by somebody a question. It could be on any topic related to biblical matters. I'm not talking about secular stuff, regular everyday stuff. You may go skate on and hardly have anybody ask you anything. But you may have an opportunity to give a witness. And God will be with you. Don't worry about it. There you are on the spot. You get yourself in fellowship, and like everything, God will give you the information that you need. Let's suppose you can't answer the question. You can refer them. I know where you can get an answer to that. I'm new, or I don't have that one down, but I can get you an answer. But normally, you probably won't be in that situation. Do you believe? Are you one of those? Well, that already starts up hostility. And you don't have to talk and argue with these kind of people. Yeah, I'm one of those. And it can be that simple. If you're dealing with someone as hostile and antagonistic, you're not even required to try to argue it with them. You're not. When you have a person with that kind of a mindset, you're throwing pearls before swine. You are trying to deal with a fool who is not open to any kind of discussion of any topic in a civil way. And we all have questions about things from time to time. People tell me, I have questions. I didn't understand certain thing you were teaching, but I prayed about it, and then down the road soon it clicked. And back to this, the principle of, I hope that this is in your prayer list as a believer. It's fundamental that you pray for wisdom. And at all costs, you get the truth in your soul. I've done that. Of course, that's my job, is to dispense divine viewpoint. So I've got to be praying. Give me insight into Scripture. There are things in the Bible I don't understand. There are things that are, what's that? It just hits me strange. You know, I could read through a book in the Bible and have questions. I was doing that on my vacation. from hell. No, it was not. I act silly. Okay. It's just where I wanted to be. I was reading Zechariah. That's a prophet. It's in their own. And all those horses sent out to patrol the earth. And I'm going, what is this? I can understand some things in Zechariah. But it's an example. I know there's an answer. I know there's a key. I know there's probably a series of things, and just it'll just kind of fall in place. And it'll come out and be clear like anything else. But it is strange. You can do this for your home reading assignment. Go read it and shake your head. What's this? Well, that's your job, Jack. Well, anyway. You're praying for wisdom. I want this right. I'm making these sacrifices. I'm in this thing I'm in. I'm suffering as a believer. Okay, fine, that's good. According to the Bible, if I suffer for righteousness' sake, it's a good thing. I got a lot of SG3 coming. So, all the greats suffered, did they not? All the great communicators through time, they suffered for their faith. So we're in a conflict, we're in the angelic conflict. And our enemy is formidable, and is not to be taken lightly. So you have to be in fellowship, in prayer, and you have to have your armor on. And when they're ragging on a doctrine, you stand your ground. That's the way it is, that the Bible teaches. The Bible. Okay, fine. Now, some people just want answers. So these Corinthians, they're out in the Corinthian society with all of its craziness. Typical, I mean, it was an organized society, but, you know, all this stuff going on. And here they stand out like a sore thumb. Because these Christians, these people, and so they name called them. That's a favorite tactic. Call them names. They'll make it go away. They're atheists. Because they don't believe in the gods. They're atheists. They're not atheists. They believe in a Trinity. So they're not atheists. So, but there are people, they don't care. It's just throw as much as you can and hope something sticks. Or they are into cannibalism. What? Eating the body and drinking the blood of Christ. Christians have been accused of that one too. And you know what you're eating and drinking here. It's not blood and flesh. And certainly it isn't of Christ. So we don't have that one to deal with because everybody does communion all around. You know, there's that crazy Catholic version. That's beyond demonic. And people actually sit there and have great intelligence, and they know when they're eating a French fry and when they're eating a hot dog, and they know the difference. But now we're drinking blood and eating flesh because the priest said something special over it. And any moron knows that it's still that funky wafer and that terrible tasting wine that they couldn't even pick a good one. I remember that one guy used Catholic. They had to drink the excess. They couldn't very well pour the blood of Christ down the drain. So I got to drink the excess, and it's not that good, and you can get tipsy real easy. See, we all laugh at that, but look at all the people. Look at all the minions on the earth that are in these organizations. They're regular humans like you are. They got a soul. They got a mind. They're caught up in a religion. And that's their deal. And you can't reason with them. But maybe someday you'll get someone to ask you a real question. And God will prepare you for that. If you pray about it, you know, I think of times of being preemptive, wondering what, you know, somebody will just make a casual comment. Well, nothing's forever. Well, that's not true. That's hardly true. That's the opposite is true. I know what they're talking about. They're talking about the temporal realm and how it passes away and gives way to another thing, and eventually all that just goes down the wayside, and one era follows another, and that's passé, and all the rest of it. I understand what they mean, but that's not true. Their attention needs to be up and towards God. Yes, things are eternal. Even your soul is eternal. Your body's temporal, but your soul's eternal. You need to take that into account. But so people say that, you'll hear that once in a while. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh. Now that there's flesh in the neutral sense. It's not dealing with the sin nature. It's the whole component of flesh. Everything that flesh means. We walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. Now the word flesh has to do with the sin nature. We don't engage in our combat with the things of the sin nature. Let me give you an example. People, we are told in Scripture that if someone wrongs you, you're not to seek your own revenge. Revenge tactics are out. It's very tempting, especially if you get a real good opportunity to make life miserable for them and won't go to jail for it. Because going to jail, that defeats the whole purpose. You know, assault and battery, whatever, you know. The other guy's the winner there. So we don't engage. We're not to engage in that. We have a verse. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. He'll take it up. He'll deal with them. It'll come back. If we believe the Bible that you reap what you sow, that it will come back on your head, then God's going to take care of those types. It may be a prolonged period that you're persecuted in a job niche. You're this, you're that. God sees these people. They're not dealing in a professional way. They just got this thing about they don't like you and they want to make life difficult for you. And they don't mind lying about you and making your job performance suffer or look bad. There's these kind of people out there. They have no scruples about this. It's an illustration. Our warfare is not according to the flesh. We don't get involved in revenge tactics. If they want to run around and talk about me, you, say stuff, do stuff, get on their little social media, do all their little stuff, knock yourself out. This is all going to come back on your head. You can have your fun, but it's going to be short-lived. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, repeat verse 4, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What's this about? Destruction of fortresses. We come back to the motif of warfare. And warfare in the ancient world involved assaulting fortresses, overcoming fortresses, formidable castles and things that people built and are trying to defend. So what are the fortresses that we're dealing with? God is watching and sees us in this conflict where we are standing up against these fortresses. We're exposing them. They're well established. They're not some flimsy deal. They're institutionalized and spread everywhere. And we're standing up against this. Us little Christians. With no power, no strength, no particular platform other than a pulpit and personal witnessing. We are destroying speculations. Well, first of all, you have to expose them for that they're evil. That's what this pulpit does. It exposes what is evil. I got a mandate to do that. So I expose evil. I explain things. That, and God's going to back us up. No, not immediately. You know, I pray that these systems will be more and more exposed to the general populations of the earth. Just so the people can hear. And the flat earth movement is all over the place. And it's out there. And yes, there's nitwits promoting it. And there's this. There's non-believers promoting it. And there's believers promoting it. It's irrelevant, but it's out there. People are beginning to, okay, people are thinking instead of just opening their mouths and swallowing what's coming in. Now, some are fanatical adherents to their scientism, and it's like, my God, they get madder in hell. Faces turn red and scream. We've seen it around here. They thought it was the end of the world. Every lofty thing. Lofty thing. That would be high science, wouldn't it? That'd be lofty. Raised up against the knowledge of God, which is embedded in Scripture. That's what he means here. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We capture it in a... I even take personal thoughts. Jack, you shouldn't be thinking that way about something, you know, that's got me upset or I'm on a... Or some human viewpoint. It's with a sin nature, it's hard not to keep all that out of your frame of reference. It's always popping stuff in. You know, it's a little devil made me do it. Well, it didn't make me do anything, but it's my STA just firing up. I didn't say, hey, would you like to fire up now? I didn't even give it a get-go. It just does what it wants to do, when it wants to do it. So I have to bring things into captivity for Christ. If you sin, you brought that in. I sinned. I confess it. That line of thinking is not right. No, we're not going there. That's human viewpoint. Thinking about that person that way. I shouldn't be doing that. I don't know all the facts about that person. They may have rubbed me the wrong way. Or I may have heard something about what they've done, and I lose all my grace towards them, and they're all just, oh, they're... It may not be the case at all. It's just a believer that's not your cup of tea that happens to be working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. They may be less mature than you. They may have other factors going on. Don't count them out. Don't write a big circle around them. They're a fake. They may prove to be a fake, but they may not be. This is a person that's got all these warts and moles on them, and you see them, but you don't know. So you've got to be careful with that. You know, people say, well, I saw that coming a long time ago. Really? Well, I'm just the pastor. What do I know? I try not to do that, you know, because judging is a sin. Not righteous judging, you know. If you're drunker than a skunk and I see you, and I say, you got drunk. That's not judging. And you shouldn't have done that. That's not judging. That's a fact. So, it would be a shame to, I don't think the kids use this anymore, but to diss somebody. To diss somebody that really, maybe has agape love towards you. Doesn't have anything against you. But divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculation. See, that's what I talked about, theoretical science. That's speculations. Speculative theology. Speculative science. Well, some think it might be. And we have a Bible that says, well, I know where that came from. I know where we got our plants. They had to be here in time so the cows could graze. They hit the ground full-blown cows. They need grass to eat. You know? They can't wait for it to evolve. Crazy. Isn't it mind-boggling? Forget about dealing with modern science, astronomy. Look at biology. The same kind of people, just a different compartment, came up with this stuff with a straight face. I don't mean every scientist out there believes this. There are these mavericks and individuals who have written books. Like, the really good one to read is Darwin's Black Box. You know what a black box is, don't you? Of course. Plane crashes and, you know, what happened. And we've got to figure out, in the black box, we've got to figure out what caused this to happen. Okay. Darwin is you know, he did this thing way back in the day, and also it was in such vogue, and you were this was the coolest thing, and everybody was into it. But as here's the kick: modern science, studying the human cell and studying all the ways the human body, and this guy in the book, he illustrates a number of ways that this could not he had a nice term for it, irreducible complexity. It means you can't take pieces out of it. It still works. He showed the steps, all the steps in blood coagulating from a simple cut on your hand. And if you take one piece out, it doesn't work. So how could this evolve up this ladder? Now, I'm oversimplifying it. But see, that's science exposing this as bogus. And that's what I try to do with this other science thing too. That's what you need to do your own research. People say, don't tell people to do that, Jack. Well, I did. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. And he's talking about Corinthians need to step up and apply in some areas. Here's what I would advise you to do as a believer listening to me to this day. It might be the last day. I hope it isn't. I hope you hang in there. I know it isn't always fun because you're in a certain circumstance and there's a lot of pressure, and I appreciate that. But you need to do the right thing at this time and juncture that you never anticipated. That's why you have to have your armor on and you have to be alert. You never know what's coming. Hebrews 10:32. Here are Christians that got off track. These were really good Christians back in the day, as we'd use the expression. In the early part of their Christian experience, they were gung-ho, they had zeal, they were being persecuted, they were a minority, they were Jewish, and their Jewish family, Jews persecute their own like crazy, is if they break with their faith. Maybe you didn't have any of that. I had a little bit of it. Nothing dramatic. But remember the former days. You know, that's a good thing to do. I think some people should have remembered the former days around here. You remember when you were really gung-ho and you loved this and this is the greatest thing and thank God for you, Jack, and this is so good and you're doing your job. And now they're gone. I'm still doing my job. They blew out of here. Something was, I think, and that's... speculative, but I think something was going on before that. I think they were coming apart in other areas, and then this just spiked the hell out of it. Maybe not. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, what came first? Getting some doctrine. God gave them some peace in an environment where everybody wasn't at their throats. You endured a great conflict of suffering. Then, what comes first? God enlightens you, and then you get challenged on it. And you suffer persecution by whoever. God doesn't put on you what you can't handle. He does not get the cart before the horse. You step up to the plate and start taking in doctrine, then the persecution is liable to come. It starts from the beginning of humanity. Cain and Abel. Innocent Abel. The younger brother, he's into what God revealed to Adam and Eve. He goes to the worship service. He does what he's supposed to do. He grows up. Cain remains in unbelief. How could you remain in unbelief seeing fire come down out of heaven and consume your parents' offering and not want to serve that God? And everything they could have told you, everything was going on. Because they had a unique religious service for a while. He didn't buy into it. I'm doing it my way. I think God will be pleased with the produce of my hands, the field. I'm going to bring an offering of fruit and vegetables. And boy, can I grow fruit and vegetable like you can't believe. I'd make anybody proud on that one. And so he comes in there, brings this stuff in there, and expects fire to come down out of heaven because his own self-will is involved. The plan of God is not of human will. Human device and human manipulation. We respond to it, but not Cain. And his stuff just sat there. His little brother, he'd come in, offer his animal up, boom. Fire out of heaven. Just like that. Cain would go out of there so ticked off, so damn mad. What did he have a basis to be mad for? He's mad at God, really. So he takes it out on his brother, and one day he kills him. His brother didn't see it coming. The first murder, human physical murder, brother on brother, Cain kills Abel. And so God jams Cain in time. He banishes him to the east of Eden. and jams his farming occupation. The soil will not yield for you. It'll yield for other people, but not you. I'm gonna dog your tracks the entire year life. You better find a new line of work. That's what happened to Cain. And then God and Adam and Eve had another boy and replaced. Cain was going to be in the primogeniture thing. He disqualified himself way out. So they had Seth, and Seth is a replacement. But that's the kind of people. They're self-willed. They're going to do it their way, not God's way. They're all over the place. Okay, sorry about that. He describes their sufferings, because they're supposed to be remembering this and recalling this, partly by being made a public spectacle. Would you like to be made a public spectacle? Would you like people out there on Facebook or even on the news or anywhere else railing against your church and what they're teaching? Be made a public spectacle. Through reproaches and tribulations. That can cover anything from job discrimination to whatever. And partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. You fall into good company, by the way. You're not, this isn't unique to you, and there's a whole history of this has gone on. I want to remind you what you did, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners. Some of you saints went to jail. And some of you stepped right up and brought food to them. You were there for them. You weren't, I don't want to be seen. That's the coward approach. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully. How can you do this, people? And accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. Would you accept joyfully if you lived in a system of Christians and they just came in and illegally took your property and the authorities backed this up? This kind of a confiscation. You'd be surprised what you can do when you're in fellowship. What you can endure with the right mental attitude. Why would you be joyful? Because they're handing you a bunch of SG3. And what they take away from you, God can replace in a New York minute. So what? So what's the big deal? And he's still going to take care of me. So they can haul all this stuff off and I have to start over. Okay. That's my test. That's my test. So you see, you doctrine causes you to react to something that would be completely different from the way other people react. Accepted joyfully the seizure of property. And this explains it. I explained it, but this explains it. Knowing that you have for yourself a better possession and an abiding one. SG3. You just chalked up big SG3. You'll be able to go to the bema seat and walk away and say, this is what you got for having XYZ taken away from you. Well, that's a deal. That's a real deal. I know the average person doesn't see that way, but we're not the average person. Now, the problem, you have need of endurance. So that when you have done the will of God, what's he mean doing the will of God? These people were soul fainting. I see this in congregation members. They're soul fainting. The pressures and the tests of life, it's got them down. And they're fainting, soul fainting. Discouraged. You got to snap out of that by getting in fellowship and praying and looking at what God's done and is doing for you. You got to remember all he's done for you to bring you here and keep you here. And what he delivered you from. Maybe more than once. Does that tell you anything? Don't let the devil knock you out of this. And don't go running off to a renegade church. Start up under the wrong principles in the wrong way. Yeah, you couldn't get me to go there. For love or money. I ain't going to show up in anything like that. It's a rebellion. It's a rebellion against the authority of this church. Which people have not taken seriously. So we've had to deactivate a bunch of people from the role. They can't vote. Because they agreed when they joined that they were going to uphold the authority and abide by the Constitution and the authorities here and obey them. Hell with that. Okay, fine. Fine. That's what you want to do with your Christian life, but it's not right. Let's suppose I was a member of Ken Reed's church. I'll pick him because he's a good friend. And he was teaching something I didn't particularly agree with. But otherwise, everything was orthodox and we're wrong. And a bunch of people got all raised up and said they want to start a church around me. Well, I have language I cannot use in the pulpit for what I tell them. You need to go somewhere else. you can't give me a church. You got enough money, you got enough people. Under those circumstances, they need to deal with the situation there. So this approach, I have taught all my ministry as the right way and the wrong way to become a pastor, teacher, and an active one, and not to crawl up over the wall and do what you do. I guess I've made myself pretty clear. You know where I stand on this. Otherwise, you know, it's just like a free-for-all. Anybody go out here and do what they want to do. Go out here. Maybe one of you want to go out here and be a pastor. Maybe you're a female and you feel comfortable with that. What stops you from doing that? I wouldn't have a church for me. Okay, that maybe too. But also, the Scripture. It's not in line with the Bible. It's way out of line. Or we just have what fundamentalism has. A free-for-all. Here's our right pastor right now. Oh, he happens to be out of town this weekend, so he's broadcasting his, because he's teaching in another pulpit, and he's broadcasting his message, and we got our screen up here where we can watch him so we can go to church. Somebody told me they did that kind of stuff. I don't doubt it. Because once you pull all the strings off, it just gets crazy. So much for John 10. As I told you, and I'll bore you again with it, somebody came here, you need to reconsider John 10. I taught what I taught. Right pastor, right congregation, read John 10. You want to get around that, don't you? So you guys can do what you want to do. Go do what you're going to do. It's going to happen here. Not with me here. It isn't happening. So they threw that one under the bus. Ooh. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, and that means get back on track, get back with the zeal that you once had, flagging Hebrew Christians. Wonder if they did. You may receive what was promised. For yet a little while, he who is coming will come, and it will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. That's what I do. I live by faith. I don't see some things I see physically that reaffirm the Scripture, but I don't see, you know, SG3. I don't see Jesus. I don't see whatever. I live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I've been tempted to shrink back. I got to admit it. But I brought that into captivity for Christ and blew it off. My soul, that's divine essence, has no pleasure in him. So, but we're not of those. Well, I just read through that. All right. Bible doctrine is called the mind of Christ, and that's something you all well know. The mind means the thinking of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the content of the Bible. If you can find it in the Bible, you understand what Christ is about, what he's for, and God, because it's an obvious thing. But people all talk about, I want to be Christ-like. Well, they think it means just to, you know, be a nice person. And it's nice to be nice, but it's to have the doctrine in your soul and to be willing to suffer for it if that comes down to it. The world does not like you. Oh, these people are nice to you, but the world does not love you. You say they do. They do not. Expose to them what you're a believer in and see how quick what kind of love they've got for you. I'm not asking you to do that, but the world does not love, the darkness doesn't love the truth. They don't. It hated Christ, it hated the apostles, it hated Abel. The world does not love you. They are useful and they're here. And I know you'll argue with me and say, well, this person is really helpful and they do a lot for me and they're not on doctrine and everything. Okay, fine. But they do not love your interests, your ultimate interests. Jesus said, you're not out there to be friends with the cosmos. You're out there to live in a non-offensive way as much as possible, but you're to stand firm for the truth. So when someone throws it up in your face, you have a chance to witness the mind of Christ. This is what Jesus says. This is what he thinks. This is where he's at. Thank you, Father, for the time. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.